Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media. Hey, good morning, everyone. God bless you and happy fall and welcome as we begin season two of our live shows with exciting new guests of columnists, filmmakers, innovators, and overcomers featured from our premier issue of Up to Me magazine. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if this is the first time you're listening to the program, my mother used to call me Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with a gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to. But I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me as I introduce to you each morning another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. We will also have a very special segment in our show for you to share your Up to Me moments when you faced your reality, found your courage, and made a decision for action to make a change in your life. Here at Up to Me magazine, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. I cannot express that enough. So please don't feel shy about participating in our program. I also want to express a special thank you to Mel D, Ali Ward, and the entire Atlanta Life Media team, and to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. You can hear the song in its entirety at the close of our show, and if you like it, please let me know by sending me a message on our new Facebook page. Send it to Gabby at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, and in a future show, we will provide you with the details of how you can purchase the song. Also, I would like to announce some exciting new ways to share all four of our radio broadcasts with you. We are now on Stitcher. Simply download the free Stitcher app on all of your mobile and Android devices and search for Atlanta Life Radio. We are also on iTunes, so feel free to subscribe to our Atlanta Life Radio podcast channel as well. Again, just download to our free Apple Podcast app, search for Atlanta Life Radio, select and subscribe. If you like our podcast stations, then you'll love our magazine. Simply go to our Atlanta Life Media website at www.atlantalifemedia.com and click on our Up to Me magazine icon to see how you can be a subscriber. If you want to join me in today's discussion, please call in now to get the on-air cue, and that number is 347-324-5246, and press the number 1. But let me clarify something, though. If you're currently listening and you do not wish to participate in the conversation, that's just fine. After the break, all you have to do is just continue to listen. However, if you... Wait a minute, I think I said that wrong. If you are currently listening and you don't wish to participate in the conversation after the break, then all you have to do is listen. And however, if you wish to join in the conversation later, all you have to do is press the number 1. It will place you on hold in our studio host queue, and then just enjoy the show, and we'll bring you on air shortly at the appropriate time. So some people were unclear about that. I just wanted to clear that up. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe in Providence. The Free Dictionary describes providence as a noun, the foreseeing care and guidance of God or nature over the creatures of the earth, and provident or prudent management of resources, prudence. I love this definition to describe the life and career and prudence of my guest this morning, an expressive Christian actress offering over 20 years of intense training and hands-on experience in feature films, television series and commercials, voiceover, theater arts, and singing. She has best known as an elite actress with 3 wins and nominations in film festivals across the country as Best Lead Actress for her work in the film Mission Improbable and the highly acclaimed and award-winning film Providence by Faithflix Films. She is also duly known for her true professionalism and warmth with both cast and crew on any set she works on, and is a delight to many who direct her. With all of these accolades and accomplishments, many do not realize that she and her husband Jeff are also well-known professional painters in their town of Kimberling City, Missouri, as Jeff and Julie's Interiors. It is clear that Providence has foreseen the care and guidance of this multi-talented and beautiful young woman as she and her husband utilize their prudence to create a divine and successful journey in life honoring of our Creator. Please help give me a very warm and virtual welcome to actress of feature films, television, and stage, Miss Julie Tapkin. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Gabby. Thank you so much for having me. My goodness, what an introduction.
You know what? That's just...
I'm so humbled.
I'm just describing, you. And so I'm humbled to have you, and I just thank you so much for getting up a little bit early this morning so you can be with us here this morning and share your story.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love that you talk about Providence. You know, I'm actually just really starting to understand, you know, God's hand of Providence on my life, and really you've helped me to really look at that even clearer. At all the different steps and ways that God brought me to get to talk to you this morning. So thanks for having me.
Well, you know what? And after watching tons of your movie footage and poring over your websites and your TV credits and commercial shorts, I really just couldn't help but think that your life so far could be summed up like the title of your movie, Providence. And we'll talk about that later. But you really are evident of Providence in your life and in your career. So I want to talk first about the providence in your life, beginning with your family. And how did the Lord lead you to your husband and then your son?
Oh, well, my husband actually was my next-door neighbor, kind of,
what?
When I was a teenager. He and my brother-in-law lived in the apartment next door to us. And my sister wound up marrying his roommate. And because she was my best friend and he was his best friend, we found ourselves, you know, in the same situations socially. And we just decided, hey, we really like hanging out with one another without the other guys. So,
wow.
So we just, that's how we got together. And my son, oh, Gabby, this is my favorite story ever. My husband and I, this is several, of course, years after we were married, we were in a Bible study with some very good friends, and we were attending foster parenting classes. We had tried, you know, for several years to start our family, and it just wasn't, you know, working out the way that I thought that it should. And so we decided to open our home, you know, we needed a child, and we knew that children needed homes. Well, these friends in the Bible study had a son whose girlfriend was pregnant, and they were not able to raise this child. And so they asked us if we would be willing to adopt him.
Wow.
And so, you know, God just placed my son in my arms. And they're still our best friends, his biological grandparents. And we're very, very close to them and in touch with them. And I can't imagine that God would work that way in my life. And I can remember I'm kind of a brat, to be honest with you. You know, when he came to us, you know, I was so excited and, you know, couldn't wait to have a baby. Oh, Lord, I want a baby. I want a baby. I want a baby. I need a baby. I need a baby. And, you know, I find out that he's born and I'm like, a boy? What am I supposed to do with a boy? Because I grew up with 2 sisters and a mother and, you know, I'm very girly and I know all about girl stuff. Didn't know a thing about boys. But he is just the joy of my life and I can't imagine, you know, him being any different way. I just love him to pieces. So yeah, that was God's providence in bringing my boys in my life.
Oh, you know what? I'm right there with you. In fact, you and I have a whole lot in common that you don't even know. First of all, we're both redheads. We share the same wedding anniversary, May the 19th.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was I was married May 19th, 1989, and you were May 19th, 1999. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that is correct. That's amazing. I love that.
And I'm like, oh, wow. And we both have only children, and we both have boys as well. And so I can attest to that because my son Grayson is now 18. How old is your son?
He's 12.
Oh, he's 12? Oh, my gosh. You
yes.
know what?
I
know you can't help it. I love having boys. I love having a boy, and I have a very special mother-son type of relationship, as I'm sure you do with your son. What is your son's name?
His name is Lane.
Oh, that's a great name. And you
Lane
know
Lane Jeffrey Chapman.
Lane what?
Lane Jeffrey, named
Lane,
after my husband.
Oh, your husband. That's awesome. Well, I just have to agree with you there. I come from a family of 9 sisters and brothers, so we had 6 boys, 6 girls. And actually, we had 12, 6 boys and 6 girls, but 2 of my brothers passed as babies. So my mother raised 10 and 6 boys and 4 girls. I mean, 4 boys and 6 girls. And so I know about boys, but it's completely different when you're raising boys. So,
yes, it is.
It is completely different.
I was always so amazed at how they don't, you know, they never play with the toys like, you know, the commercials say the toys are supposed to be played with.
Rough.
You know, they're upside down and they're, you know, jumping off of them. You know,
yep.
I can remember the first 3 years of his life, I think the only words I kept saying was, what? Really? Why?
Exactly.
Why are you doing it that way?
One time I saw my son, I'm eating dinner. He goes, I'm finished dinner. Can I go outside and play? And we're like, okay. So we see him from outside the kitchen patio door, and he was like 4, on his bike, riding as fast as he could up the sliding board on his bike. And I said to my husband, what is he doing? Oh, my gosh. And I could not. It was like one of those things where I couldn't get out there fast enough because he was already halfway up the slide, and I knew what the result was going to be. And he did. He got up as far as he could, and he fell off sideways, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And my husband, he didn't even flinch. He goes, well, that's what boys do, honey. So just
that's just part of it. That's so funny because my son had we had neighbors, and there was a house in our neighborhood with a sloped roof very close to the ceiling, or excuse me, to the ground. And I look out the window, and those 3 boys are sledding down the roof of this house. And
oh, my goodness. Yep, that kind of stuff.
You run out to the park. What are you doing? Get down there. You've lost your mind.
No, you know what? Boys think about things later, like after the consequences. And they go, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done that. But I think girls anticipate things first and go, I wonder if I should do that, you know.
Right,
but that's, I think that's just the difference. But they are a blessing. And I just think that's a really amazing story that you still have contact and you're still all one great, big, loving, happy family. That's amazing.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we have been staying with them. They have a farm in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And so we have been with them for the past 3 months, helping with the harvest and the, you know, raising of the goats and the chickens and all of those things. And, you know, Lane's been hauling water and cleaning barns. And it's been a great experience for him. And I'm so grateful that I'm so grateful they're in our lives. They are really wonderful people, and they're our family. You know, we never, you know, mention, you know, biological this or anything. You know, we're all family, and that is such a blessing. So, you know, if there's other, you know, adoptive parents out there, you know, I might just encourage them that, you know, adopted children, no matter how great, you know, their adoptive parents may be, there's always this little piece of their heart that is missing. And I've, you know, come to realize this, you know, in the most recent years. So I'm so grateful that they're in our lives, you know, because, you know, she can answer questions that I can't answer. And, and I feel like it gives him a well-roundedness about who he is and where he came from.
Yeah. You know what? My brother adopted 3 children as well. And, they, as they got older, they had those types of questions too, but they went through Bethany Christian Adoption Agency, where they have relationships from birth, and they write them letters and send them pictures all throughout their lives to let them know this is how they're growing and thriving and being loved and well cared for, and let the adoptive parents know that, I mean the biological parents know that they made the right decision for their child and how unselfish it really is. It's unselfish.
Oh, truly.
You know, so I can attest to that. See, that's another thing we have in common. It's awesome. But I wanted you grew up in the Midwest, right?
Yes, in Oklahoma, Ponca City, Oklahoma.
I love that. But
so boomer sooner. I'm a sooner born, sooner bred. When I die, I'm sooner dead.
That is so awesome. And I learned, so your husband Jeff is also, I guess, from Oklahoma since he was your next-door neighbor. So the two of you moved to Branson, Missouri, and you started a painting business. So how it's called Jeff and Julie's Interiors. So how did that come about, and how did the move come about as well?
Well, I had worked for my father, who was a painting contractor in Ponca City, very well known. It was Adams Interiors at that time. And he knew, you know, my aspirations. He knew the gifts that God had given to me. And he also knew that I probably wouldn't be a very good waitress. So he said, I'm going to keep this still. And no matter where you go, you can eat. And we like to eat. So we moved to Branson because of, you know, my entertaining. And it just happened that there were a lot of people who needed our skills. And so we painted for 15 years in the area and never advertised. It was all word of mouth. And it was such a blessing. I learned so much in that time. You know, when you paint, the most important thing is prep work. And prep work takes longer, you know, than the finished coat. And if you don't do it well, you know, good foundations, you know, if you don't do it well, then your finished product is not going to look as good as it could or be as long-standing as it could be. And so I have been able to apply that, you know, to my spiritual life and to, you know, any area of my life. So I love painting. It suits me. I'm the type of person who likes to be able to look back at the end of the day and say, oh, that's what I did all day. I did that. So it's been a real blessing, and Jeff and I love to work together. We've been married 17 years now, and we've always worked together. And so now he manages my career. He is in charge of all of my social media and contacts. And you know, I believe he was in contact with you before our interview, and he's such a blessing to me. He just of course, is my biggest fan, and
that's awesome.
Nobody in the world that could do what he does, so I'm blessed. Very, very. Love him. He's a good boy.
Well, I think that, and I know you know the Arnett's, Kimmy and BJ.
Oh, Arnett. Yes.
Aren't they awesome?
I adore
people?
Them. They really
me
are.
Me too.
They really, truly really are. We got
they're
to
the gold
them,
standard. They
the
really
time.
Are for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're really amazing people, and they've been on this show twice. I brought them on, and I'm always so blessed when they come on, and I always learn so much from them. And I bring them up because, as you were saying, that you know you love to work with your husband. It's natural for you too, and I really believe as well. And we talked about this when we had them on the show as well, and with BJ and Camille, that we do believe that that is really how God designed. And what he probably had in mind, when he made Adam and Eve, that, you know, here is your wife is made from your ribs and out of your own being to be your helpmate and not lesser than, but your equal partner to work together and to build a life for Christ and with each other and your family. And I just love when I see the couples thrive doing that, and they're able
me
to.
Too.
And I did ask them though, how do you do that? Do you ever like not have any arguments and stuff like that? How are you able to do that? Work day in and day out. And BJ laughed, and she said, "Oh, it's not that you know, you don't." What she's learned over the years is, she said, "I have learned to stay in my own lane.
Right.
So you each know what each other's roles are, and you stay out of their lane.
That's so funny. Here's a funny story that you'll like. Early in our painting career together, now my father taught me the business, and I taught Jeff, I mean, you know, in a loose sense. And so I'm a little bit of a control freak. I'm in recovery, so I'm trying not to be so controlling. So there was one day, you know, I had a show or something. I'm sure there was something else I needed to do. And so I was giving him instruction and you know, making sure that, you know, you've got to do this and this and this and this. And my husband, my sweet, darling husband, turned to me, looked me straight in the eye and said, "Julie, I don't work for you."
Oh, my goodness.
What? You did not just say that to me. But, you know, it truly, truly opened my eyes, you know, that you're right. We are truly a partnership. And people, you know, of course, home improvement, they say, you know, it's the main cause of divorce. How can you do that? How can you work together? I said, well, you know, we married each other because we like one another. So, yeah, I figured out my lane and, you know,
right.
Here's my gift and skill set. Here's his. And so we get along really well now.
See, that's, you know, and we're just human. It's not like, you know, of course, when you have a relationship with people or with each other and you've been married that long and just, mm-hmm. and even in any kind of working relationship, you know, there's different personalities and things like that. But if you learn exactly what each other's gifts and talents are and leave them to that, you stick with yours, you stick with theirs, you know, it
right.
can work. And so I just I get a warm and fuzzy when I hear of, I do, when I hear of husband and wife teams that, that work and thrive and are such amazing mentors. And you're doing that in your professional career as well, which when I was reading your biography and I saw that your husband had written it, I was like, you know what, that is so sweet. What a testimony to your love and to your love for the Lord as well. I applaud you that. I don't feel like that's always easily accomplished.
Well, I used to get on to him again. He runs, you know, our social media and he does all, you know, he's very business administrative gifting. And so, you know, when he took over those things, you know, I used to get on to him. I'd say, you've got to quit posting my big fat face everywhere. You know, people are going to think I'm really, really high on myself, you know, and when I read the bio, I was like, I don't know, you know, but truly, you know, because of his love for me and knowing my heart, you know, and he told me, he said, you know, Julie, this is what it takes. This is what God has told me to do. And so you've got to trust that. Yes, I know. You're right. So I have. I trust that. You know, he seeks the Lord and he hears from the Lord. And so I let him do what he's called to do.
Well, and I do think when you read it, it doesn't sound haughty or full of yourself or anything like that. It's a testimony to exactly the gifts and talents that the Lord gave you and how you have been utilizing that. So I just thought it was beautiful, and I just thought it was sweet when I read, you know, that he had written that. So, and I didn't feel like it was biased either because as I researched other interviews and stuff, other people said the exact same thing as he did. So I knew it was not just from his heart, but I knew it was truth. So I just wanted to share
that. Well,
thank you
for that. I appreciate that greatly. I'm very, you know, I am a humble person. In fact, it's funny to me that God has me on this path. This is nothing I ever really sought for myself. You know, to be out there. I'm actually a little bit shy. You know, I have the persona, you know, don't look at me, just look away.
Oh, really?
You know, and the Lord said, well, yeah, I really do. And so the Lord said, well, Julie, you know, this is the vessel that I've created. And so you've got to allow me to do what I'm going to do. And so, you know, oftentimes, you know, no matter what your call is, it's a surrendering, you know, you know, just like all of the, you know, Bible heroes, you know, I mean, Noah had to surrender to his call. Abraham, all of these people,
Moses.
You know, had to decide to say, yes, I will let you work in me this way. And so that's where I am. So I have decided to let God work in me, no matter where he wants to put me, if it's on stage, if it's painting a bathroom, if it's,
that's
you know,
awesome.
Just wherever.
Well, you know what? This is the other thing that we have in common that I love is that we share a love for the theater. I have a theater background myself. And Gypsy, you were in Oklahoma. You started as Ado Annie on stage, and then you were also Louise and Gypsy Rose Lee.
Yes, that
oh
was one of my favorites.
I would love
to.
I would love to see a clip of that. I'm sure it's not on YouTube from back then, but I would have loved to have seen you in that. I would have loved to have seen you in that. That is one of my favorite musical scores ever.
Oh, it's wonderful. It really
every
is. I was so blessed in that.
Every time the opening of the show starts and they start the encore, the opening of the show, and they're playing the score, I just get goosebumps. I mean, the music is phenomenal in that. I just love all the songs, and it's just beautiful. It's just a great movie.
I used to sing Delane when he was little. I used to sing that song, Little Lamb, you know, that at the end of Act One.
And, I love that.
So that's one of our favorites. And it's funny to me how it, you know, again, these things that happen to us, you know, or that we've done, you know, in years past become a part of us. I mean, that is, and every role that I've done becomes a part of me. And it's interesting because I thought that I would feel almost schizophrenic or, you know, there's so many different personalities. But I don't. I feel as if they're each a building block and teaching me about, you know, different ways of reacting to things or different personalities. And I'm grateful because it gives me an empathy toward, you know, other people, you know, real people in the world.
Right.
That just, like I said, this gives me that opportunity to connect on a different level than probably I would have if I hadn't had those experiences.
And because you're naturally shy, it kind of gets you out of your comfort zone, gives you a little bit of confidence and bravery to be able to express and relate to people, like you said, on a level that you might not have been able to on your own because of your shine.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
it's definitely
cool how God does that, you know. I like that. And now you're saying, let me entertain you.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm just a girl that can't say no.
Can't say no. Ado Ant was probably one of my favorite roles ever.
Can you do the laugh? Can you do the laugh for me?
Fun. At this point, that was so many years ago, Gabby.
I know. It's awesome, though. I'm just having a little bit of fun with you right now. I just love those musicals. And then I hear that you are directing, or you did direct Last Holiday in Branson. You've been there since 2001 on the stage, and you even performed three female roles in one musical called Smoke on the Mountain, and which I think is amazing that you could do three roles in one.
That's a great musical. Well,
what is that about?
I never did. I mean, you know, I played each individual. I started out as the youngest daughter, Denise, and played her for a couple of seasons. And then I moved on to June. And then I moved on to Mama Vera. And it's so funny, these characters, these women, you know, Denise is a very flamboyant, you know, she wants to be a star. And she's, you know, so Denise is sort of who I am, you know, when I step out on stage or on set, you know, it's here it is, world, you know. Take it or, you know, take it and love it. June is very shy. She doesn't sing. She, you know, she has no musical gifting except percussion. So she plays all of these crazy, funny instruments, and she does these crazy signs. And, of course, she's sort of the, you know, the comedic lead in that role because of her shyness. And then Mama Vera, she, you know, she's constantly quoting scripture. She's a little bit self-righteous, you know. She's, and it's interesting to me how all of those characters are really key facets of my personality. So Smoke on the Mountain has been just, that is something that is so ingrained into me. It is so much a part of me that I can't even believe that I was able to be a part of that show for 15 years, you know, off and on.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't
consecutively like
when we got our son. Truly. And it is a family, you know, the Sanders family. If you're not familiar with the show, they, you know, they come to this, it's set in 1938, and it's the singing, the Sanders family singers, and they come to this very conservative little Baptist church, and, you know, they're very real people, and they each give a testimony. And of course, the pastor is so nervous about what they're going to say, and will it offend his congregation? And yet in their transparency, they minister to each, you know, personality set, to anybody who is struggling in any, you know, facet of their lives, any, if these characters could really speak to them. So to get to direct Sanders Family Christmas, that's actually been a couple of Christmas seasons now. That was such a blessing to me. I would love to continue to direct. I still have a lot to learn. And so, you know, if God opens that door, I would gladly walk through it. But that was a wonderful experience to get to share what I learned in the roles and about the roles with the actors that were doing it that season. Such a blessing.
Is that something you think that you'll want to continue to do or work towards in your career directing?
You know, I really would like to direct. You know, directors, it's kind of funny, and if any of my directors are listening, please don't take offense, but sometimes I'm like, what do we need you for? Why are you here? We know, you know. But directors have a way of pulling out things that you might not have ever considered, you know, of a character trait or even just feelings, you know. And so I would talk to the actors and I would say, you know, this is where this person is in their life right now. And so, you know, think about these things as you're, you know, delivering this monologue, you know, connect with the audience. And I love live theater simply because it's different every time because your audience is different. And so you have this opportunity to connect one-on-one, you know, you have that eye contact. And so I would share that with the actors, you know, make that connection with the audience because there is someone sitting in those seats who is where this character is. And there's something that you can share with them that hopefully they walk away from this show with a and they're really meditating on that, you know, in the days to come. And that's how God uses us. You know, I believe that that's why God gives us upfront gifts. I used to think this was a very kind of frivolous pursuit, you know. It's like, okay,
right.
The grand scheme of things, really, you know, acting, that's kind of frivolous. But truly, you know, when I look at our Lord, how did he teach? He taught through stories and parables and ways that, you know, really spoke to people, because when they left his presence, those stories continue to resonate in their minds and their hearts, and the Holy Spirit continues to speak. And to, I talk a lot about sowing seeds, you know, words are seeds and deeds are seeds. And you know, we can plant seeds in the ground and we can water them and we can give them what they need. But truly it's the Lord himself that does whatever he does under the ground that makes that seed grow. And so when audiences go out and they leave, I just pray over those seeds that, you know, in the days to come, in the years to come even, may God just do what he does to make that seed grow and produce a harvest. From one seed comes a harvest of many, many potential seeds. And
that's,
I think,
awesome.
That's a beautiful, beautiful illustration that God gave us.
It's a harvest of friends and a harvest of family and, you know, for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. That's a great analogy, and you're right. The Lord used many parables to be relatable for him and show how real he really is too. Well, with that thought, we're gonna just cut out to a short station break, and we'll be right back with Julie Tapkin.
Hi, this is Executive Producer Mel D, and we thank you for tuning into today's show. Today's show would not be made possible without the support of our loyal sponsors. If you own a business, offer a service, or are a fan of the show, become a sponsor. Please go to our website at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com to the Advertise With Us page to view and download our new advertising kit. We offer new and affordable opportunities for you to become a part of our shows. And now we return back to our program.
And we're back, and if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Up to Me magazine show. I'm your host, Gabby G, and before the break, we were talking with actress, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur, Ms. Julie Tapkin. If you would like to call in and be a part of the conversation, please call 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Welcome back, Julie.
Thank you.
Well, we were talking about your career and your family and how the Lord is orchestrating your prudence and your providence in your life and in your career. And so now I want to talk about the actual movie Providence, which I just think is so appropriate for you. And I wanted to know, you play the lead in that, and you played an independent but kind of a lonely woman who feel she missed out on her true love. And so how did you, how were you able to prepare for this role, both emotionally and then also as a silent film? Was this your first silent film?
This was my first silent film. And actually, Gabby, I am one of three actresses who played this lead character. Because
that's right.
The story of Providence goes through the lives of two people. And so we had a young Rachel, Emily Knapp, and we had teenage Rachel, Stacey Bradshaw, and then I was blessed to play adult Rachel. So,
thank you for pointing that out. Yep.
They are brilliant actresses, and honestly, I think it's a brilliant concept that Sharon had, you know, in following these two people throughout their life. And so I definitely want to give those girls props because
They were fabulous.
Our children, you know, who we are as children lead us to who we are as adults. You know, those girls' performances kind of, you know, led me into my performance as the adult Rachel. So let's see, how did I prepare for a silent? You know, she gave us a sort of a script, a synopsis, a story, and we had to come up with our own monologue for the audition.
Huh.
In continuation of that story in character. And I loved doing a silent film because audio will kind of blow a take, you know, anytime. You can have the best performance of your life, you know, and the neighbor's weed whacker is going to, you know, ruin it for you. So it was so freeing to not have to worry about, you know, audio takes and things like that. We just had a wonderful time on set. Fred and Sharon Wilharm
are fabulous.
They run a very professional, oh my goodness, they are fabulous.
Love
and
them.
They're so gifted and called, you know, and I love just the way that they work together. You know, that's a husband-wife team. So of course me and my husband really cleaved to them and learned a lot from them. So I can't even believe, even to this day, that I was allowed to be a part of that. It'll be a part of me forever, and I'll be, you know, connected to them forever.
They really are, and that is a testimony to Fred and Sharon. They're so real. They really are, and you know what? I was drawn to Sharon. I met her at the Kingdom of Christian Film Festival last year, not this past year, but the year before that. I was so drawn to her. I went to her workshop, and that she was giving on how to choose clothes for a set. It was so interesting, and that, you know, she's talking about how you choose clothes for your character and the colors to use and all that. She's just brilliant.
I found that to be so innovative, and that was the first time that I had ever had a director, you know, color code the characters.
That's something.
It's really interesting because you know, when Rachel is happy, she wears brighter pinks and things like that. And when she's at her low periods, she wears dark colors, dark burgundies. And, you know, she kept the pink color. That was Rachel's color. And so I love how she, and it being a silent, you know, it just adds even more layer to it of how, you know, the colors really tell you what her emotions are. And I just thought that was a brilliant concept.
One thing that I thought was really brilliant that I picked up on, and I did mention it to her, was after I watched the film, I said to my friend, her name's Julie too, Julie Silcott, actress, and she said, I said to her, did you notice that Rachel wore the same necklace throughout her life? She always had that necklace on that her grandmother gave her when her grandmother died. And I said, that's awesome, because you almost expect for her to have it, because you can see the relationship she had and how much she loved her when she passed away. She wanted that piece of her grandmother with her. And you really feel like that was the only love she really felt in her life, so she was, like, clinging to that necklace. And I just love that she thought of that. She goes, oh, that was purposeful. I go, I realize that, but you really understand the character with that one little detail, keeping that necklace.
Yeah, that was a really great touch, and, it helped connect the three of us. So
exactly, because you have three different characters playing. Or three different people
so the
playing the character.
They were, right. And it could be, confusing if you're not. Now, Providence is one of those movies that you watch, and you can watch it several times over and catch something new every time. And I think that is brilliant. And I think that's a testament to Sharon's writing. She is
She's
a really gifted
else.
Writer.
She really is.
Oh, my goodness. She really is. I cannot say enough about her. So I'm so blessed. In fact, I hope I get to see them in the next couple of weeks, just to go and visit and maybe do some painting for her.
In her beautiful Victorian house that she had. Oh my gosh, that house is so beautiful.
It really is. And they open it, to the actors. I know that Irene Santiago stayed there and Stacy stayed there. And they just are so hospitable and welcoming, and as soon as you step into that home, that it's been dedicated to the work of the Lord. And
that's awesome.
They have open arms.
I just had lunch with her in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and we just had the best time. I was picking her brain, just asking her all kinds of things. She fascinates me. She just really
me
does.
Too.
She really does fascinate me. She and Fred, and they're so humble and.
Very humble,
and
so unassuming.
Yes, exactly. They're unassuming and real and humble. And she's you're amazing. They really are amazing. I can't wait to see what their next project is. And speaking of next projects, I wanted to talk with you also about another project that you did, like right on the heels of that, and that is Mission Improbable. And that was the work of Donald James Parker and his production company called Sword of the Spear Productions. Can you tell us about the premise of that movie, and then who else was in the cast with you?
Yes. Donald James Parker wrote Mission Improbable. There is a mission in Crossville, Tennessee, called the Mission Bible Training Center. And it is a free alcohol and drug addiction live-in facility. To bring people out of this lifestyle and teach them biblical truths that they then can apply to their lives throughout, and of course we know that the Word of God has power and strength, and that's what they teach them, that, you don't have to substitute with drugs and alcohol, but the power that you're seeking and that you're trying to fill, with these counterfeits is actually available to you readily and freely. And so we actually got to film in that facility. There are actual residents that are in the movie. And my character, Susan, was an alcoholic, and she, was in an abusive relationship, and, her mom had just had it up to here with her. And so she got her involved in this Mission Bible Training Center. And so she goes and her life is transformed and she's changed. And, she meets a guy that hopefully goes on to enrich, their lives together. I don't know. We're talking, we tell Donald, we're like, I don't know. I'm thinking sequel.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful, wonderful experience, you know, with Colin Brown and Mike Tinker. Of course, Cameron Arnett, you know, was in that film.
I know. I love him.
I didn't get to work with him, but when I saw him on screen, I was, my mouth just hit the floor. I thought, this guy has got it. I mean, he just, man, alive, if I could just get to work with him. So you never know. Hopefully. At any rate, I'm glad that we, again, have that connection and that we're tied together through that movie, you know, forever. That's the beauty of film, you know, stage.
Yeah.
Once it's done and, you know, it's out there and the audience takes it with them in their hearts. But film is nice in that you have an actual, you know, hard copy that you can revisit. And like I said, I notice different things every time I see one of these films.
You bring up a good point, too, because you've done every type of media there is, and you've even done like a million commercials that are seen in five different states in the Midwest. And so tell us about the difference between doing a commercial as opposed to, is it more fun because it's just you go on for 30 seconds, you do your bit, and you're done? And is it, do you find the prep work harder? Is it easier because of that?
You know, I don't find... you know, the prep work to be really that much different. You know, you're learning a script and you're, you know, taking on a persona. However, I do feel great responsibility because in a commercial, you're representing
a company,
an entity or a product or, you know, somebody
right.
else's vision or, you know, like
right.
I said, product. And one of my favorite commercials that I got to do was actually sort of a public service announcement sort of a thing for Shepherd's Crossing in Manhattan, Kansas. And this organization is amazing. It was started by C. Clyde Jones, who is 93 years old. And
wow.
The man is, oh, girl, he is going strong. He just did like a walk, you know, he's a K-State fan. And just a dear, dear, dear friend of mine. I was so humbled that he came to set to meet with me when we did this. And so I was able to portray a single mother who was helped by their organization. And what they do is they offer, you know, they offer some financial help, but what they do is they actually offer training. You know, they train people how to budget and how to use their resources and how to, you know, just basic life skills that, you know, sometimes fall through the cracks, you know, when people make poor choices or, you know, they get themselves into situations that just seem like, you know, there's no way out. This organization is there to say there is a way out, and it's through education and diligence and hard work. And, you know, we're here with you every step of the way. They have, you know, support groups that, you know, it teaches people how to build one another up. And so that was probably one of my absolute favorite projects to be involved in, and I'm still involved with them. And so Shepherd's Crossing, if anybody is looking for, you know, something to support, that's a really great one. So that was a blessing to me.
Well, you can go ahead and do a shout out for them. Do you know their website offhand?
I'm going to say shepherdscrossing.com. Oh, Gabby, you took me by surprise.
Sorry, I just thought, you know what? That sounds like a really awesome organization. We need to know about them. So it's shepherdscrossingprobably.com. You can Google them. And
yes,
that is in, I'm sorry, what town?
Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas. I have to get out to the Midwest. I have not been to the Midwest.
You'd love the Midwest.
I need to get out there and visit. Yeah, I want to. I've been down south. I've been East Coast, West Coast. I've never been Midwest, so I need to get out there.
Well, if you go, let me know, and we'll show you around.
Oh, I would love that. That would be awesome. I would love that. I hear that it's just beautiful out there, all that land, and it's very peaceful.
It is. There's nothing more beautiful to me, you know, than the azure Oklahoma sky and those golden wheat fields. And, you know, anytime we, you know, and Jeff and I travel around, actually our whole family, Lane is homeschooled. And so no matter where we are, we're together, which we feel is very important, especially in this industry. You know, you hear about, you know, just lives and marriages that are decimated in this industry. And we take every precaution against that. And so, but every time we go to Oklahoma, you know, it's just that feeling of, you know, I'm home. This is, these are my roots, and, you know, I know this area and I feel good here. So the Midwest is, will always be in my heart. You can take the girl out of Oklahoma, but you can't take the Oklahoma out of the girl.
I say that about Baltimore because I'm from Baltimore originally. Now I live in Philly, and I live like in Delaware, just in the East Coast. But that's kind of how I feel.
We went to Baltimore to get our son. He was born in Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, yes, Cumberland's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It was. I enjoyed that trip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. What a blessing that is. See, there's something else we haven't come to. It's awesome. So I know that you are also a public speaker for women's events for children and youth ministry. So we only have about 6 minutes left of our show. So before we do that, before we have to go, I don't want to be remiss and talk about what you do as a public speaker for women and children and youth. And so tell us what you speak to them about and what message do you wish to convey for them?
Well, my husband and I were in charge of our children's ministry for 15 years. In fact, that's really how God trained me. We did skits and music and things like that. We were interim youth ministers, and of course, I was involved in our women's ministries. Yeah, 15 years in our church.
Oh.
And actually, it you know, God had to take that from me because I loved it so much, and I couldn't imagine him. I couldn't imagine a bigger picture. You know, this was, I would have been happy in that church's basement for the rest of my life, teaching the Word of God to children, you know. And so whenever I get an opportunity to speak, I take such responsibility in that because it's the Word of God that I share. I share the gospel of Jesus Christ in that, you know, he came to seek and save that which is lost, and that no matter your circumstance, no matter where you come from or your past, you have a future that is bright. And so I love the story of the donkey, you know, and I say all the time, if God can use a donkey, if he can speak through a donkey,
yeah, right,
he can use this jacked actress to share his word. And so I just want people to understand that, you know, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so whatever your gift is, you know, not everybody has an upfront gift. Not everybody,
right,
you know, sings.
Right.
But if you have a gift of administration, you can do that for the Lord. If you have a gift of service, you know, you can do that for the Lord. And so that would probably be my main message, is just that no matter where you are or what you do, if you do it heartily as unto the Lord, then you will reap a harvest. So.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. I tell my son that as well. You know what, he, growing up, he was not, he's not very competitive, so we weren't the ones running to and from like crazy to travel games because he didn't like to play sports. He tried it, and he said, you know what, I just don't really care enough if the ball goes in the goal or not. I don't get all worked up about it. why is everybody screaming at me because I miss a goal? I just stressed him out. He goes, I just want to play and have fun. I mean, why can't we just play? And so I'm like, you know, so his coach just said, you know what, he's got athletic abilities, but he just doesn't really, he's not competitive. And I said, no, he really isn't. And so we tried instruments, and he could play instruments. He had a guitar. And he's like, you know what? This kind of hurts my fingers. I'm not. but you know what his gift is that he loved and was passionate for is his computer. And I would be like, you know, get off the video games, get off the computer so much, there's a world out there. But it turns out that that's his gift. And now he's in college for information systems. But what he does is he gets dead computers from his professors. His teacher at his Christian school had a hole. He would be the computer aide. And he opened the closet door to wire up some things for the school for their computer class, and he saw all these old dick computers in there, and he said to the teacher, what is all these dick computers doing in here? He goes, oh, we were just going to throw them out. And he goes, can I have them? And he goes, what? He goes, I want to repurpose them. So they let him have them. There's like five of them. So he took them apart and ordered old parts from Amazon, and he got every one of those working, and then he gave them away to different people that he knew that came from single-family homes that couldn't afford two computers or a standalone computer. Yep. And so I said, Grayson, that is exactly what the Lord wants us to do, to take the gifts and talents that we have to use for His glory. And you just did that because you knew your friend came from a single family home and his mom couldn't afford a second computer. So
that's awesome. He's in the redemption business.
He is.
He's
in the redemption
for a greater
Isn't that
purpose.
Awesome?
It is awesome.
You know,
you know, God knows. He knows when He makes us, you know, when He created us and He places, you know, certain interests within us. And as mamas, you know, we kind of have our ideas. I have my ideas, you know, and I tell God about them all the time. So I always have to say, okay.
Right.
But Lord, you know. So, you know, just help me to deal with whatever you've got coming on, you know.
Oh, exactly right. So. Yep, amen to that.
My kid's a computer head, too.
Yes.
So another thing in common, Gabby,
See?
We're like soul sisters.
We are. Yeah, we are. That's awesome, Julie. I love that. Well, unfortunately, you and I could just go on and on and just talk and compare notes and, you know, love on the Lord through, you know, for what we do and just give Him all the glory and honor, because all the glory and honor is all the Lord's. I couldn't do what I do without the Lord. But, you know, your work and your extensive range as an actress really is an inspiration, Julie, to so many who wish to have a career in acting. And I think that you have set the stage, so to speak, to show that, you know, when you honor the Lord in your life as a wife, a mother, in your everyday relationship with others and in your work, the Lord is going to open up those opportunities to shine through Him. And I've read several times that directors like to work with you, not just because, and I love this about you, not just because of your talent, but how you treat the crew and everybody on the set. And you're such a light. And, you know, everybody is important.
Uh-oh.
Every member, you know, I love the analogy the Lord uses about it. And members of the body, like you can't, your body can't walk without your foot. You got to
right,
have a hand
exactly.
to write with every member of the body.
Spleen. That's what I love. You don't see the spleen, you know, but there it is.
Right.
It's got a purpose.
Exactly. The
and
liver,
it's
your kidneys,
thing.
Everything.
Right, exactly.
Everything is important. So no matter what your gift or your talent is, you do it of the Lord. And you are a perfect example of that. And so I just want, as we close out, you know, give one final shout out and thank you to you for that. I just appreciate your coming here and getting up a little bit early with the sun there in the Midwest. And just thank you so much for who you are and for what you do for the Lord.
Wow, Gabby, I'm so humbled to be on your show. I'm a big fan, and I thank you so much for this time. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to talk with you. And I look forward to a day when we'll get to meet face to face and just hug one another's neck and continue to encourage each other. Because, you know, death is not the end, you know, and in eternity,
no.
We will not be sitting on clouds.
Amen to
hearts,
that.
I really don't believe, you know, we are being prepared in this day for the coming day. So who knows? Maybe we'll just work hand in hand in eternity. And I'm excited. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome, and I hope that you'll come back and tell us about your next project. I know it's going to be fabulous.
For sure. You got it. It's a date.
Thank you. That sounds good to me. Well, if you're wishing to learn more about Julie Tapkin's next project yourself, you can visit her at IMDb, her website there, and that's www.imdavidme.me/Julie, and she spells her name Juli, and her last name Tapkin, Tap as in Paul, K as in Ken, E, and N as in Nancy. So that's www.imdb.me/Julie Tapkin, or www.julietapkin.wixsite, WIXSITE.com. If you would like to have Julie speak at your next women's, children, or youth ministries or church event, you can email her at julietapkin@gmail.com. Do you live in near the Branson, Missouri area? Do you have some rooms in your house that needs painting? Do you want the very best painters in your area? Then you will need to hire Jeff and Julie's Interiors. Don't forget that. You can find them by going to Angie's List at www.angieslist.com. I've looked at the reviews. They have great ratings. If you need something painted, you need to call them or contact them. On social media, you can follow her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, respectively. The Up to Me magazine show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. when my guests will be casting director Niecy Davies, actor Ben Davies, and actress, model, and screenwriter Philippa Davies-Boyens to discuss their newly released movie, I'm Not Ashamed, the inspiring true story by Pure Flix Films based on Rachel Joyce Scott, who was shot and killed for her faith at Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999. You will not want to miss next week's show. So mark your calendars. Meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Atlanta Life Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own up-to-me moment. Then come back and share it with us because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you. Take us out, Mel D, with our fabulous theme, Wake Up, by Blessed
it's
Love Hustle Reggae Band.
To be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
To self.